Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat. And welcome to another episode of our conversation here on the Localization Chat, where we bring you conversations that are casual conversation and that they enlighten and help the localization professionals and interested parties in the localization professional, not necessarily just from the inside of the industry. I understand a lot of my audience are from outside the industry, looking into the industry, trying to understand how it works, or interested in doing business in the industry. Hopefully this conversation helped you. And based on the comment that we're receiving on this channel, the audience tells me that they're very helpful, easy to listen to, and easy to comprehend, and a lot of wisdom in the conversations that has been transpiring over the past 96 episode. And today we're recording the 97 episode. And I'm honored to be joined by Philippe Mercier. Philippe comes to us from Brussels in Belgium. Philippe, bienvenue. Welcome to the channel. It's an honor to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Robin. It's a pleasure.
And Philippe, as we say on this channel, everybody's got a story. Why don't you get us started by telling us about yourself, maybe a little bit about your localization story. If there's one, would love to hear it. Welcome to the channel. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I'm a software engineer. In fact, I started my career by doing some consulting work and also some writing, because I'm the author of a dozen software programming book that when I was around 25, so that was a nice challenge. And then a few years later, it's quite a long time that I'm in the localization and translation industry, since 1996, I believe. It was really the beginning of localization. I was asked to work on a large localization project, and that's how I got involved in the translation industry. So I've been working in a few translation agencies since then, large and smaller ones. So always building tools to assist translator, give training. And I think it was a nice move, because it's a mix, because, you know, the love of writing and IT. And so we have a bit of everything doing the translation and localization. Then also, it's a real pleasure to talk with people from all over the world. You today, yesterday, we had a webinar with people from, my God, so many countries. It's really so nice, I think. Yeah.
You know, this is the fascinating thing about the language industry.
Absolutely.
It's that whole connectivity with that builds by nature, you know, the nature of the industry, builds that connectivity with various countries, with various demographics, with various a group of population that speaks different languages, and it bridges us together, connects us together. You know, as much as we say about this world that is very, you know, sometimes you look around the world, say, like, what age are we living in? Every country has got an issue. Every, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening around the world, if somebody wants to take a pessimistic view on things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you look at our industry and the job that we're doing, and we don't give ourselves a lot of kudos a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. The job that we're doing in connecting people and enabling people to speak different languages, understand each other. We talked a lot about learning languages in our podcast here.
Language is about the communication. So, yeah, that's the good, interesting thing, to share the knowledge. And it's a really interesting industry.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure if you live in Europe. You have many demographics represented in Brussels and around you in France, mm-hmm. in Belgium, etc. And you probably understand that more than a North American would understand it, in terms of how language can bring people closer to each other, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, the biggest problem I find in a lot of things, on an individual level, on a group level, or on a country level, if you boil it down to, basically, we don't understand each other.
Yeah, it's right. And as you say, for example, I'm living in Brussels. And as you say, languages should bring people together. And when you see in some country here, we have two, three national language. And sometimes it can create problems also between people, maybe because of misunderstanding. I think Canada, you have also French and English, we are a bit similar country. And it's true that here in Brussels, we are quite lucky to have a lot of different languages also with the European Commission being here. So we have plenty of people coming from all the country in Europe. We have the NATO. And so it's really a mix of culture, and that made it a very interesting city to live in also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, for the audience who don't know you, and I know some of our audience probably know you, and some of our listeners, regular listeners, they know who you are. But for those who don't know you, and I'm addressing this to our audience as well as trying to let them know a little bit more about yourself, Philippe Mercier is the CEO of a company called Wordscope. Mm-hmm. And I'll let Philippe tell us a little bit about Wordscope and what is Wordscope and how long you've been in business, etc. So just give us some idea about Wordscope.
Yeah, there's also a little story about that. And as I said, I was working until end of 2016 in different translation agency, where I've always built tools or made some research to improve the work of translator. But at the time, we were not using machine translation. And as you know, in 2017 was the first DeepL came with the new system, AI system, neural machine translation. So I started doing some tests with that, and it was really impressive compared to what we have seen before. And so I thought it might be a good idea to have to build everything together, because now with the internet, you know, you can have one tool that gives you access to terminology, to machine translation, to know ChatGPT, to AI. Which was not possible before because of many reasons. So in 2017, I started building a tool which give access to all those resources from one tool. So it's a CAT tool. It's a traditional CAT tool, but we really try to bring as much assistance as possible. And then in 2022, when we have first seen ChatGPT, we thought, wow, that might be an extra assistance for a translator. And I think we were the first to integrate that into a CAT tool. And since then, we have seen a boom in the number of sign-up on our platform, because it's really helpful for a translator. You know, you can ask for assistance very easily. You don't have to type long prompts, so it's really... it's really bringing a lot of assistance and interesting support, I think.
100%. So do I understand this correctly, Philippe, that this is targeting the translators themselves, like the freelancers, the individual translators?
Yeah, individual translators. And we have also a translation agency, of course.
Yeah.
But it's really a CAT tool that you can compare to other CAT tools, Trados, MemoQ. I would think that the only difference is that we bring, you know, a lot of AI tool inside the product natively. It's in our DNA, you know, AI is in our DNA. We have built the product with AI since the beginning.
So more direct question, I guess. You saw a problem and you tried to solve it using your software.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Can you illustrate a little bit or elaborate a little bit on the problem? What was the problem before the Wordscope was launched, mm-hmm. and how Wordscope solved that problem?
Well, I think that from my experience working on different projects and watching translators and project in and out, as we all know, translators need to consult different resources online. It may be an online terminology, maybe Termium in Canada, a public database, translation memory. And that may take a lot of time. If you are translating a legal text, you may need to make sure that the title is the proper one and all that kind of information. So that takes a lot of time. So we thought first that if we can integrate all terminology resources directly into the software, that would be one thing. Then another thing that we see a lot and we hear a lot today talking about MTPE, which is machine translation post-editing. where translator get a pre-translated document and are asked to proofread it, in fact. And, you know, there is not one good way to translate. I think you said it yourself in one of your previous posts. If you take a translation and you show it to five different people, then they will always have remarks and they will change, is it good or bad? I even remember a story when we were doing a translation in an agency, and it was done by a professional translator, good one. And when it was delivered to the customer came back and said, oh, it's impossible, that has been done by Google Translate, it's a poor translation. And it was not, it was really a good translator. But that customer didn't like the style, the terminology that translates. There are so many reasons, difficult to define quality. Mm-hmm. So what we do, instead of providing assistance of one MT, we provide assistance of many MT at the same time, which is like a track change system, you know, which allow the translator to quickly spot, oh, that may be a better expression, or that may be a better way of saying something. And so that's interesting. It's like if we are three translators looking at the same time on the page and doing it together. So that I think, bring quite a lot of help for the translator. And then when we add ChatGPT on top of that, that's even more interesting because you can do all kind of things and it's really powerful. You can ask, can you please change this word in the middle of the sentence or make two other suggestions, but without typing. And the final thing is that because we put all that together, we can connect that with private glossaries, for example. So when a new segment come in, WordScope check for the terminology entries and send that information to ChatGPT or to DeepL and tell them to respect that terminology.
Yep.
So the MTPE is adapted to your terminology or the one of your client, and that increase the quality or avoid losing time checking that. See? So that, and I think that we probably can add even more assistance in the future.
So what would be, in your opinion, and I know, like, I've been around for a while and you are as well. So we all know, like, in our industry, and some of our customers might know that too, that the way you measure a translator is by productivity and quality, obviously, but generally is by the output and the inherent quality with that. So initially, like when I first joined the industry, I heard everybody talk about 22 years ago now, 2,000 words per day. You know, that was the metrics that you measured a translator, 2,000 words per day.
2,500, yeah, something that was the metric, yeah.
It depends on the language, depends on the text complexity, yeah. Obviously, and there's a lot of variables that go inside of that. But generally speaking, it's around 2,000, right? So having built this system, and you mentioned you've got a lot of, you know, many translators are jumping on board and signing up for the application. Did that change the productivity with the translator? Did it improve it?
Yeah, it did. It did. It did much. I like to have the example. One of the first customer we had, she was a woman. She had never used a CAT tool before in her 50s or something like that. And then at the beginning, it was in 2020, we were looking for, you know, beta tester and things like that. And she has been a user of WordScope, a gold user of WordScope in the beginning. And one day she told me that in 1 year, she has doubled her turnover since she's using WordScope. Because double the turnover, I said, how could you do that? And she said, well, I'm translating article for our clients, and it's always a bit urgent. And because I could translate more, then they keep giving me more work. So as simple as that, so she could produce more without changing her rate. So the productivity doubled, and because she didn't change her rate, the revenue doubled. So that's something, there is a real increase of productivity without losing quality, because with all the tools, we can still control quality, because we should not forget that, you know, that's also something that I hear when I talk about MT. There is not one MT that can do everything. We still need tools. We need context. We need private glossaries, style guides. to do a good quality. So mm-hmm. just putting a document into an MT will not do the work, or maybe for some stuff like a press release or, but we still need other tools.
So from your perspective, and that's a great success story. If a translator who's, everybody's looking for work now, right? So, nobody out there that says, I've got too much work, don't give me any more. We seem to be going for the past 20, few months now, 2024, started in 2023, but 2024 was especially a year where you've seen, the technology is taking away a lot of the words to be translated, and it's being processed by technology. But what you're saying is it's a great success story that if you're able to produce more at a good quality factor, your customers are going to give you more work not because you're doing it fast, the quality is going to go down, and therefore your customers trust you more, so they're going to give you more work. Mm-hmm. Am I hearing mm-hmm. this correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a pity a bit these days, because there seem like two camps, translators who absolutely love AI for that reason, and some who did not even try it and say, I don't want to do it. And then they are surprised that they are losing business. Mm. And so maybe they should just give it a try and see if it's good for them or not. But we hear a lot of people say, we'll never use that. I was even surprised. Would you think that using a CAT tool is good for literary translation? I wouldn't think. And one day somebody told me, there was a presentation in a university, I think it was in England, of somebody made a paper, research paper, and the research was to translate Émile Zola, that French author, book. Yeah, book using a CAT tool, and they did some tests with Worldscope and the assistance of multiple MT, and they said it was surprisingly good. So I was really shocked because it was interesting because it tried, and that he said that didn't do the job perfectly, but at least there were some interesting points that could give some new words, some new expressions.
The encouraging thing here, what you're talking about, is we keep, as an industry, raising the bar on quality.
Yeah.
Which is that's what you want. That's what you need as an industry, employing technology, but never lose sight of quality. And I'm reminded that all industries, right? So if you're talking about somebody gave me the example the other day. If you have like two automobile manufacturer, right? So I'm just going to use an example, a Japanese automaker, and I don't know if it's still the same, and a North American automaker, right? So in a Japanese automaker, what they would do generally in the process of making a car is they would put a quality check on every step in the assembly line, versus putting a quality check in the North American automobile manufacturer at the end of the assembly line. In what I think, I hear you say is using your tool is you're putting a quality check on every step of the process, because you're integrating multiple things into it, terminology, customers' input, even AI, if it's trained properly, you're bringing that in. Am I on the right zone here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really that. Before, you were talking about productivity, 2,500 words, so sometimes the translator has to rush in not doing the translation.
Yep.
But here, with the assistance of the tool, I have the impression that the translator can concentrate on really what would be the right way to say something. Another small story. In the last agency I was working, we were doing some work for an international organization. And the translation were made by a small team of translators in France. And because it was a major customer for the agency, I wanted to always give a quick last check. It was translated, proofread it, but myself, I like it to read sometimes. And I tell you, I could tell it was that group of translators. I think the project manager changed, and I could see something wrong. It was a good translation, but the other one was really perfect, it was beautiful. So maybe the translator can work better on doing that, because is always a translation. No, they can, you know, when it's a nice and flowing text, that's what I think where tool assistants can bring value. Of course, maybe you don't need that for some technical manual different. So people have to judge what they need for what. So maybe not work for everything.
So just tell me a little bit, where are you now in the development process of WordScope? So now you have a product, people are buying it. What's next? What are you doing with it?
So yeah, so as I say, we started 2017. We released the first version 2020. So now that's quite a long time. And now again, what we really listening to what people ask for. For example, we have many requests. You know, another problem of translator is, for example, they may work for one agency one day, another agency another day, and one agency is giving a Trados project and the next one is giving a MemoQ project. And for them, it's not easy to always switch. And now we come with WordScope and say, will you use a third one? And they ask us, okay, we love WordScope, but can you process files from other CAD tools so we could avoid doing that? So that's a request that we have received a lot. And
so you see integration with CAT, with other CAT tools? Is that
no,
what I'm
not
hearing?
Integration, but they, you know, the translator receives the package or
a batch file
or xlib file from thing that we should be able to process it and return it with the proper code to the other CAT tool.
Okay.
It depends. So that's the kind of request we have. And yeah, we really try to listen, and we've made so many changes, in fact, by listening to what people ask for. And we surely add even more AI. Currently, for example, we have only integrated ChatGPT because when we do the test, we still believe it gives the best results. But for example, we have many predefined functions to simplify, so you don't have to type a long prompt. And some people ask us, oh, can you allow us to have our own prompts, and something we'll add soon, or they will, some other ask, oh, can maybe add another LLM like Gemini? So that's the kind of modification we are looking for. And probably the most important one would be the proofreading, because the proofreading is really interesting with tools like that. We have done tests when you take a source segment and a target segment, and you make dummy modification, you know. So if it's a medical text, for example, you have hyperglycemia in source and you talk about low blood sugar in the target, which is the complete reverse, the word don't look the same, you change a few numbers, so there is no error, no grammar, no spelling error. Then you ask, we have a button proofread, and ChatGPT will tell you there is an error there. You, because we are connected to the glossary, will tell you didn't respect the glossary entry, it will correct. So it's something that the best spell checker could not do. The only problem with that at this moment is that large language models are still slow. So we cannot process a full document, for example, doing that.
Okay. And so proofreading, you're finding like an opportunity in doing proofreading. An automatic proofreading, is that what I'm hearing you saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, for those individuals who's listening to our podcast who are not from the industry, just to let you know what a proofreading is, from its most basic level, is to compare a translated document to the input or to the instructions that the customer has provided you before you deliver the final product to the customer, meaning you have to make sure that you're following a certain style guide. You have to make sure that you're following a certain lexicon that has been provided to you, or terminology, they call it. And those instructions need to be respected. And why is that? Because the fundamental reason is you want to maintain the same style of translation across a department in an organization, or across the entire organization in some cases. That's why you follow a same style guide across an entire document or entire group of documents as instructed by your client. And that's what Philippe is talking about when he talks about proofreading. And
also consistency on different support, manual, website, and try to use the same word.
100%.
Across the media.
So, Philippe, your company is based in you're based in Belgium, right? So I'm assuming Brussels. Your developers are based in Belgium as well, or
yeah,
you're around
absolutely.
The world or remotely. No, how do you work?
Yeah, we have in Belgium. We have also some people in France, and and sometimes when we are doing some small beta testing or small development, then we may talk to freelancers and stuff like that. To you know, when you want to prototype something that
sure.
something.
So for the audience who are in the industry or are not in the industry, you are strictly a software development company. You don't offer translation services. Am I hearing this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to be completely independent. So we are purely a software company. All the data that we process through the system is strictly confidential. We don't share it. We don't use it for any training. We really, that's something really important.
Yeah, because it's very strange in some, in, you know, I mean, it's well-known fact in our industry, I'm not spilling any secrets, that we have some technology providers who are also service providers.
Yeah.
And some of the big players in our industry find that strange, or small players. Some of the players in our industry find that strange. I find it strange that you're able to sell software, then go turn around and compete with your customers. It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
I fully agree. I remember when I was working in an agency, they had sometimes a technical problem and they were talking to the support, but I say, well, you are giving away our customer names. And then, yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. Yeah.
Very strange. It's sometimes it's a love-hate relationship in some cases, but just it worked. I mean, for so many years, it's been around, but people didn't, you know, don't think, I feel like the people I talk to that don't like it, but in some cases they're cornered in some places, in some corner, and they say, okay, well, I got to use the software, but I don't have any other choice.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the case maybe 15 years ago, because that was the only choice. So maybe, but you're right.
And that's why, like, you have a lot of cat tool now, they're sprouting out, right? So there's many cat tools now. I was going to say earlier that, you know, how do you make sense of all this? Because, you know, there's, when we started, like, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, and we only had like maybe one cat tool on the market. Now you've got, I don't know, 100 of them. Like every time I turn around, there's somebody building a new cat tool. And in the past, it used to take a lot of effort to build software. I'm assuming now building software is not as difficult as it was 20 years ago. It's much easier now.
That's an interesting question. And, this is not the case, to be honest. When we started working on that in 2017, it took us like 5 years of work to build this software, you know? We wouldn't have started if we knew that at the time, to be honest, because there are so many cases. People can upload all kinds of documents. It's really complex, all kinds of problems. So it looks simple, but it is not, I tell you.
Well, I'm sure there is more to it than just developing a software, right? I'm sure there is a lot of things that goes on. I'm a software, code back in the days, right? So, and I completely get that. But and I'm reminded, like, even for my personal things that I do, I still play around with code sometimes. So, you know, I want to say in the 90s when I used to write COBOL I had a job and I used to write COBOL as a code, right? And so I used to write, like, I don't know, 20 pages to create one module.
I know. That was long typing.
I'm dating myself quite a bit now.
Yeah. Even to do an addition, it was at 1, 2 something, if I remember.
I know. Yeah. It was crazy. Mm. And now I feel like we can do more with less code. We can spit out, you know, programs faster. And I'm sure you guys are taking advantage of the newer technologies as well. But I mean, still lot of effort to build software.
Yeah, it's still, because, for example, that's something also that we hear a lot. Translators fear AI and some engineers fear AI also. And so we are doing tests also for that and see if AI could help us for some basic tasks maybe. And, you know, it's interesting because we try to create a simple form with a few functions, something that would take you a day or maximum two to do if it's a bit complex. And okay, the draft, the AI will do it properly, but then start asking the AI to modify the code and things like that. And then we couldn't reach good results. It was modifying things that we didn't ask. So I think that, you know, the no code, when I hear that no, everything is no code, I say, all right, give some instruction to ChatGPT and build Workscope and we will see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's good. It's assistance, like for translation, but it cannot do all the jobs. So,
yeah. That's right. But it's improving, right, Philippe?
Yeah, it's improving. Absolutely. It's improving.
And but,
there is a difference between, I would say it's a difference like translating a press release and translating a medical device manual.
That's right.
Yeah, it's about the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now, what is next for you? I mean, you've got the software; it's running. People are buying it. I know you mentioned one item regarding processing content from another CAT tool, and you sound like you're doing it via XLIF. Is that what I'm hearing? XLIF and bat files.
That's one possibility. That XLIF is the main format. It's an exchange format between CAT tool, but originally, it was made for that, but there are still some differences. If you take from one CAT tool from the other, it will work, but not perfectly. So we need to tune so the we can move it into Workscope and out of Workscope smoothly. Yeah,
so what's your goals now? What are you hoping to achieve in 2025? We're still at the beginning of the year here. We're only a few weeks in. What are you hoping to achieve for 2025?
Well, what we try to do is spread the word about Workscope and I think tell user try AI, because it would be a pity that good translator, you know, start doing another job because they didn't want to use AI and as a simple tool. I remember when it was the first translation memory, like 25 years ago, it was about the same story. We did a presentation. We invited a lot of translators in the translation company I was working for. And it was all problems and complaints. I'm sure you experienced that. And then it was the same with DeepL. And just try it. That's why we try. So what we try is to show the tool to as many people as possible. And because when you see it and when you see what it can do, then it has real value, I think.
No, I see this. I mean, in terms of the business case to buy it or to participate in it, I think it's a subscription base. Instead of, you know, a translator, for instance, an individual translator going out and buying each individual tool separately, a ChatGPT or whatever using. Now they can aggregately look at this from a single interface and do their work from a single interface as a translator.
Yeah, so we provide the tools and you don't need to bring in your subscription. For example, some tool ask that you take a subscription to ChatGPT and you give them your secret access, the API key. We don't do that. So in our subscription, you will have access to ChatGPT and we will pay for that. But that's in our subscription price.
And so that's part of the subscription, right, Philippe?
Yeah, that's part of the subscription. Everything is in the subscription.
So the individual doesn't need to worry about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one thing. And one thing I want to say that's important is that there is a price of that. I heard the other day somebody say, because our price are 40 euro, or 60 euro or the equivalent in dollar or Canadian, I'm not sure. And we do some discount on that. When we do webinar, we give very important discount. So it may end up being like $30 per month.
Okay.
And I had a post the other day and a translator say, $30, but there are other tools that are providing a CAT tool for $10. For example, why a translator would pay more than $10? And that's interesting for two reasons. First, it costs us more than $10 to provide the assistance. And second, make the math. The translator is using Workscope and is double her revenue. If she pays $60 even per month for that, my God, she pay back the subscription the first day of the month.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. And so I think that's important for translators to understand that it's not the cost. It will help them to translate faster, increase their revenue, and the cost of the subscription will be covered at the first project, the first day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you bring up a very good point, which we don't talk about it much on this channel. I think we should. I think I'm thinking about doing like one podcast around the financial aspect of art and the pressure that this industry is facing. One of the things that you mentioned here, which sort of triggered me thinking that way, is, you know, when somebody says, oh, there's a cheaper solution. And it sounds like not just on the actual service side, meaning doing the translation work, that everybody's thinking like, oh, there's a cheaper way of doing translation. Okay. It sounds to me like even on the software selection, there's always the price pressure as well. Like,
absolutely,
everybody's downward racing on the pricing point of view.
Yeah,
and let me break the news here to the audience: it will never be free. Mm. Okay, so I know the race is on, and I know everybody wants it cheaper. But if you want to, if free is free, you know, we have a saying here. I use it all the time as a joke. You know, I hate you know to say it, but I will say it. If, again, in a joke way, that you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. Okay, so you get the point on the joke, and it's only a joke. I don't mean anything by it. I hope nobody come back and crucify me over it. Just a joke.
No, it's true, and I was really shocked when the guy said, "No translator can afford to pay more than $10 for a service that you use every day, 8 hours per day." Well, there's something wrong here, don't you? I told the guy in my answer, I say, all cars have four wheels, but they are not the same price. There should be a reason for it, right?
Mm-hmm. But do you think, you know, a translator who is complaining about $10, $15 or $30 a month or even $60 a month, do you think they are serious about their job as a translator?
I don't know. I was really shocked because you know, it's just give it a try. And I don't know what the hourly rate of a translator, let's say 60 or whatever, 100, depending on where they are located. But that would be the price of 1 hour saving, let's say. Let's put it like that. So in 1 month, can a tool save you 1 hour of your time? It's sure. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So it will pay back the subscription immediately. No, 100%. No discussion.
Absolutely. Now, the question here is, like, when it comes to these technological advances, especially with WordScope and what you're doing, Philippe, and your company, how do you stay agile? Like, you have, from a development perspective, right? Because it sounds like, you know, you're responding to larger technological advances, meaning that when we talk about ChatGPT and the DeepSeek, the one that was just, you know, launched a few days ago, and, you know, the rest of them, Gemini, et cetera, these things are changing, are evolving on a day-to-day basis. We don't know what next technology is going to come up in a few weeks from now or a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay agile in your development? It's like building a house, right? I mean, you've built the foundation, but all of a sudden somebody's asking you to add another 10 rooms to that. And you're thinking, oh, do I have to rip the foundation up and put a new foundation now?
That's really a good question, because the advantage we have here is that the tool has been built to connect external system. So for example, we had the case of an institution and they said, oh, I have my own empty system. Can we connect it to WordScope? And then it took us half a day or a day, I cannot remember, to connect it. So if tomorrow we want to remove a brick and put another one, it is absolutely super easy, because WordScope is built that way. Just connecting things together. So it's very easy for us to do that.
Of the curve kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what is most difficult today is to follow up the you know, everything's going so fast. You know, there's no new DeepSeek. We will not touch that because the Chinese confidentiality. So we'll stay away from that. But when you see the progress of other tools, Gemini and thing. There are so many chain and so many things that we could add to the software. So we must make sure the right one. So I would say the most difficult thing now is to look at everything, take the time and say, what could be useful to translators? What can we add to the software that will bring real value? And I think that the most difficult for us is really to follow those things are going so fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know, you know, based on a previous conversation that we've had, you and I, you've came to Canada, right?
Mm, yeah.
And you presented to at the OTIAC, I remember.
I did a presentation at the OTIAC, yeah.
And so what was the reception?
Yeah, it was very good. I think it was very good because there were a lot of participants, really a lot. So people are looking at, to get more information. So that's really what we try to do. Yesterday, we did a presentation with the UK Translator Association. We had also like 300 registered participants because people are looking. And that's what we try to do is to show them what AI can do and not, you know, make a debate. Is it good or bad? That's not interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And so are you planning, I know there's a couple of big events coming up here in April in Canada. I'm not sure if you're aware of them.
Yeah.
Gala is hosting its annual meeting in Montreal. And also on the same day after, I think.
It's World Speak, yeah.
Yeah, World Speak is taking place. So I'm not sure if you'll be sending somebody or you'll be here. I don't know. Are you planning to be in Canada?
I'm not sure yet. In
you're
April.
Not sure?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but we're talking about it, yeah.
We're talking about it, okay. I'm hearing it's going to be big. I don't know.
Yeah, we try to be as visible as we can, but we are still a very small organization, so we cannot be everywhere. Thanks for hosting this chat and helping us spread the word. That's really nice.
Oh yeah, no problem. I mean, I love the conversation. I met you a couple of times and I love talking to you personally. I enjoy our conversation. It's and you know, when you enjoy something, it's not an effort.
Absolutely.
It's not an effort for me, to be honest with you. It's a passion of mine. And talking to individuals such as yourself, Philippe, it's an honor for me
to do
this on a weekly basis.
Likewise.
I enjoy this. And before we wrap it up, is there any other comments that you'd like us to know about WorldScope and the company, yourself? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think more translators should try because that's really what worries me that you know, they're like two camps, you know. It was funny, for example, some associations are very active, translator associations are very active promoting and informing translators. That doesn't mean they are taking position pro or against AI. And some translator associations, they are just like hiding, you know, we don't want to take position. And I'm not sure
there's still people hiding from AI? I didn't know that.
No, but they not hiding, but they want more to be on the side. Oh, we should not use that. We should not, and that's okay. misinforming translators.
Oh, possible.
Yeah, and I think we might lose very good translators. I used to say that, you know, translator, if you are not happy working with an agency or another one, just somebody say, get out of your comfort zone, go and work for another one, or go for a direct client. Because I always say I was working for a small translation agency, and you know, translators are gold for a small agency because a small agency care about her clients, care about the translator. If the translator is good, is accepting the work, the client is happy, and everybody's, it's a good relation. Everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, you know, I want to say to the audience this because I keep talking about it on this channel is what Philippe is talking about today and what the technology he's presenting today to the, you know, not today, but I mean, today he's talking about it, but he's been around for many years, that the idea of AI and human coming together to deliver something, it's very, very at the core of everything, not just the language industry. Any industry in the world currently, human and AI are interacting together to develop a better outcome. And I think the fundamental concept here, it is what just Philippe was just talking about WordScope and the company that he's leading, is about exactly that. If you leave, and this is really, you know, I saw an interesting post on LinkedIn yesterday, one translation company put it out there, is and it's big picture and he just hits you right in the face, you can't miss it. It says, you know, managing AI risk in the language industry. Like, okay, you know, it's I get it. I understand the message. But at the same time, that human interaction is going to demystify or negate a lot of these risks out of the system. Because for those who are still on this, you know, I call them the skeptics, they're sitting on the fence, they don't know, you know, I don't know what to do with AI. The safety net is that entire concept of making AI and human work together hand in hand to deliver the right outcome for the right audience. Am I correct, Philippe?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure that, as I say, you know, all, you know, companies doing translation of medical device manual, etc., they will never go for only AI translation. They will always have good translator having to check the work. And it's so important to have the human there, and it will not change.
Absolutely. So we're coming to an end here. I want to thank you, Philippe, for coming on to the show today. And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Me too. It was a very nice discussion. I hope we can have some more in the future.
Absolutely. I hope we continue our dialogue. And hopefully next time you're in Canada, we see each other face to face. Or I go to Europe. That, never know.
Absolutely. You're welcome whenever you want. Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Philippe Mercier. Really appreciate it. Philippe Mercier, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of WordScope. Check them out. Go to their website and take a look at what they have to offer. I highly encourage it. If you're a translator or you're a linguist, you like to broaden your horizon or check something else, something new, check it out. Also for our audience, I want to thank you so much for listening in today for our episode 97. I can't believe I'm saying this. And thanks for helping us and making this channel a success. I'm proud of the work one man army like myself is doing.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but sometimes we have to do that because nobody else will. I will. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening in. I really appreciate it. And I see you at the next episode, 98. Thanks so much, Philippe Mercier.
Bye.
Ça fait plaisir. À la prochaine.
Thank you, everyone.